Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. Today on the show, we'll talk to Jamie Bluma in the 7 o'clock hour. Talk baseball with Bluma. Gary Lezak will have your forecast. Jarrett Sutton will talk college basketball with us. And we'll talk about Mizzou's win last night over Vanderbilt and preview the game against Arkansas and talk about the other schools and the other NBA prospects that Jarrett Sutton has been scouting in the area. All that and more with Jarrett Sutton. And then Jay Heidrick will talk about the Kansas State loss to TCU taking place last night as TCU now evens their record or gets above 500 at 9-8 after they fought back to even the record at 500. They are now 9-8 in the Big 12, tying Kansas State with a 66-59 victory last night. Road game for K-State, back-to-back road games for K-State, and they could not get the win in either one. And so they've got a big game coming up against Baylor, and Baylor looked really good last night. Good Lord, Oklahoma. If you thought Oklahoma had fixed things with their home win against Kansas State, you were wrong, because Baylor was leading at halftime 39-19 over Oklahoma. They end up winning 87-64. And then Oklahoma State goes on the road to beat Iowa State. And so nothing really unexpected last night. Thought maybe K-State could pull out a victory. They could not, but TCU has now won four games in a row. It's their first four-game conference winning streak in 20 years. And so great job by Jamie Dixon overcoming an injury to one of his best players. And now the team looks like they're playing their best basketball of the year at the expense last night of Kansas State. And here we go again. Is Baylor a tournament team? Is Oklahoma State a tournament team? Heard the announcers there saying they thought K-State has work to do. Is K-State a tournament team? They were considered a 10 seed going into last night. They better beat Baylor to feel comfortable, just like Mizzou better beat Arkansas to feel comfortable. Although Mizzou desperately, desperately needed that win last night on the road against Vanderbilt. They were down two at halftime. It didn't feel good. Didn't feel like they were going to play their A game last night, because they didn't in the first half. They were turning the ball over. Vanderbilt is not a good defensive team. They don't pressure very well. They don't create turnovers. Yet Missouri continued just to give the ball away in the first half. Unforced errors and unforced turnovers. Bad passes. Not on the same page. Just it was frustrating to watch. And on top of that, Mizzou's defense was poor. Their perimeter defense was poor. Vanderbilt had one open look after another from deep, and they were hitting all of them. So they were on fire from three. Mizzou was turning the basketball over at a rapid pace, yet they were only down two at halftime. And Gabe DeArmond, I think, wrote something to the effect of Mizzou should be thanking the heavens above that they were only down 2 points with the sloppy play that they hit the floor with last night against Vanderbilt. They should have been down by more. But then Mizzou came out in the second half and played one of the better halves of basketball in the last couple of weeks. And let me tell you this, if you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't watch the game, I do not know how I could properly express how good Jontay Porter was in the second half. That was, man, I'd have to think for a long time if I can even remember a better, maybe a just even a 2 or 3 minute stretch of basketball, 4 minute stretch of basketball from any Mizzou player in recent memory. I mean, I know there were some big moments for Clarence Gilbert and Thomas Gardner and Marcus Demon. I mean, you'd have to go back a ways. You know, I mean, Jordan Clarkson had some moments. I mean, there's been plenty of good players. But I'm just trying to think the most recent one that may have had a dominant stretch like Jontay Porter did. And not the way he was playing last night. I mean, there was a stretch when Mizzou had raced out to a lead. I mean, I'll say around 10 points or so. But then Vanderbilt started hitting shots. And it was that point in the game where Mizzou has a lead. But then they start giving up some buckets, and they let the opposition get back in it, and then it's anyone's game in the final 5 minutes. But Jontay Porter, there was a stretch there of about 2 or 3 minutes where he single-handedly answered everything that Vanderbilt threw at Mizzou. And I mean, it went, I think, Jontay Porter assist, and then he hit a beautiful jump shot, and then he got a steal, and then he had another beautiful pass that would have been an assist, but Kevin Puryear's layup got blocked, and then I think he had like either another rebound or another steal and hit another jump shot, and then he hit a three, and then he had a slam. He scored like 10 straight points, had an assist put in there. It was, I mean, I don't even know what to tell you. We'll talk to Jarrett Sutton about it, because I'm not sure he even knew what to tweet about when, I mean, you don't see it that often. The kid's 6'11 and showed an unbelievable touch. And I'm talking about defensively, too, just not on the offensive side of the basketball game. Like, for 3 minutes, he took it over and really ended any shot that Vanderbilt had of coming back on senior night. And just look at his numbers. He ended up 24.7 rebounds, 6 assists. He was just magnificent in the second half. And I think somebody asked him, or he was talking to somebody after the game. He said, "I don't even know what was going on out there." And the look on his face, there was one point when they looked at him and he's kind of like wiping the sweat off his face and laughing. Because, I mean, we've all played enough basketball where there's moments where everything that you put up goes in. Nate, I don't know if you've ever experienced that.
I put up a lot of shots.
By yourself in the gym.
Yeah, maybe.
At a point where you're feeling it, right?
Yeah.
And, then they would show Michael Porter Jr. and the look on his face. I mean, everybody. I mean, it was just like, good God. I could see how he could be a first-round pick. And according to Jarrett Sutton, there was a whole bunch of NBA scouts in attendance there in Vanderbilt last night with the anticipation that Michael Porter Jr. might play. Well, they saw a Porter. And they saw a kid that at some point is going to be a first-round pick. And so Jontay Porter put on a show. And we thought maybe 50-50 we'd see Michael Porter Jr. The announce crew, Tom Hart and a former Duke assistant. What the hell was his name? Chris? Whatever. They were talking about how shocked they were that Porter Jr. didn't play because Konzo Martin had his team go through a really physical practice day of game, because he felt like in this recent losing streak they lost some of their toughness and physicality and they weren't playing defense the right way. And so he tried to switch things up, and they said Porter Jr. was a part of it. He was in there with full contact, banging with Kevin Puryear, running the floor, and looked like he was part of the team, good to go. There would be no indication that he was holding back on anything. And that's why both members of the broadcast crew said they were shocked when Michael Porter Jr. came back out after warmups and wasn't in uniform. But I think Gabe DeArmond and most people close to the program had said that they thought there was a slight chance he'd play, didn't expect him to play, but expect him to play against Arkansas. So we'll see. We'll see if he plays against Arkansas. But thankfully, Mizzou didn't need him in the second half, and they win 74-66. I will be at the game on Saturday, the final home game of the year against Arkansas. It's a huge game. Arkansas beat Auburn last night, 91-82, and so Arkansas goes into the game 10-7. Mizzou goes into the game 9-8. Mizzou's already dropped a game at Arkansas, and so they're playing for seeding. I think pretty much Mizzou's chances for being one of the top four seeds are out the door, but that's not what this is about. This is about solidifying a spot in the NCAA tournament and building momentum. You'd love to go into the SEC tournament winning back-to-back games, playing good basketball, and having an opportunity not only just to make the NCAA tournament field, but to improve your seed. And so we will see how Mizzou fares against a red-hot Arkansas team on Saturday. But that was a game they had to have. They had to win that game, and they did. And a big reason why was the performance of Jontay Porter. That was his best game. And that was the best stretch I've seen from any Mizzou player, certainly all year long. It was, it's hard for me to even describe. I don't know if you guys saw any of the game or watched that stretch of basketball in the second half. Right around, I don't know, the 7-minute mark to about the 4-minute mark, somewhere in that area. You know, it's all running together right now because I think I was hyperventilating while watching. You know, it's hard for me to really grasp exactly what happened, but I mean, he was great. He put the team on his back for that stretch and put and really erased any hope of Vanderbilt coming back. Because Vanderbilt, in that stretch, hit some shots. And they were going back and forth. They go, wow, this is fun. But when you're down 10 points, you can't trade baskets. You know, and so Vanderbilt really gained no ground because Jontay Porter answered every shot that they made for that stretch and helped Missouri get the win. But good night for Mizzou. Bad night for K-State leading up to what should be a wild weekend, a wild final weekend in the regular season for college basketball.
Yeah, I think it is it's a tough loss for K-State because it was a big opportunity to try to get a resume win. And K-State fans are going to look at it and say, look, we won 20 games this year. We got 9 wins in the league. The very worst, we're going to be 500 in the quote-unquote toughest league. The problem for K-State is they don't have hardly any resume wins. And we keep talking about it. I'll keep saying it over and over again. That's what the selection committee values. They value who you beat more than they do who you didn't lose to, so to speak. You know, you lose a bad game. Yeah, okay. But how many good resume wins do you have? The fact that K-State hasn't beaten any of the top 3 teams in the Big 12 hurts them. And they had a chance to get a really good RPI win yesterday because going into yesterday, TCU, and here's a crazy one for you, Steven. This might really surprise you. Did you know that TCU, according to the NCAA's RPI, is higher than Texas Tech and West Virginia in the RPI? Does that surprise you?
Yeah, sure.
And obviously RPI doesn't mean anything, but the point is K-State had a chance to get a top 20 RPI win on the road. And we can sit here and argue about whether or not TCU deserves to be that high in the RPI, but the bottom line is that they are. And that was an opportunity for a win, and it was a close game with like 4 minutes to go. And I think that K-State scored 3 points the final 4 minutes. I think they had 4 straight turnovers at one point. And they just, their late game execution let them down again. And so it's a bad loss. And that's not the right word. It's a bad loss from the standpoint that it could have been such a good win. And they didn't get it.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. And now they, like you said, they've got a chance to play Baylor. If you're wondering what kind of a resume win that could be, Baylor is 63rd in the RPI right now.
Yes, sir.
Well, Baylor's wondering what kind of resume win Kansas State could be right now.
Right.
This isn't about Kansas State. Baylor needs a win to get in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You know, we focus so much on K-State. What are they going up against in Baylor? How good did Baylor look last night?
That's
also Oklahoma was such a willing participant, but
yeah.
But still, you got to do it.
Question is, how good was Baylor or how bad was Oklahoma? I mean, I don't know what the answer is.
K-State played Oklahoma on Saturday. They couldn't beat them.
It's so. A good point. It's a good point. I mean, it's a good win for Baylor. You know, I mean, no matter what, that is a resume-building win for Baylor because Oklahoma's 34th in the RPI. Right now, going into last night, K-State and Baylor were 63 and 64 in the RPI together. So even if K-State wins that game, it's not going to be a top 50 win, and it's a home game. So that's not going to be a quadrant one victory, as they said. Might be a quadrant two, I think, is what it would be. So, you know, the problem for K-State is they didn't jump up and beat some of the good teams in the league. You know what I mean? Or the top. They did find a way to win a game against West Virginia, K-State, or West Virginia, KU, or Texas Tech. And they didn't do it. And I think they're going to find themselves on the bubble because of it. You know, just like last year. They were the last team in the tournament last year. And I think right now, they're looking at that being a possibility again this year.
It should be, it's going to be fun on Saturday, though. And can you believe, and boy, Texas fans, I hope they enjoy this. Tennessee is now tied with Auburn, and they have a chance to win the SEC outright on Saturday.
Wow.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
By the look on your face, it did.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I just assumed that...
Tennessee went to Mississippi State and kicked their ass last night. And that Mississippi State is good at home. That's not a bad team at home. And Tennessee looked terrific. And so Tennessee's 12-5 now, and so is Auburn. Auburn hosts South Carolina, and Tennessee hosts Georgia. There it is, man. I mean, they're playing for the conference title on the last day of the year with Rick Barnes. And, you know, what would you describe Texas as doing with Shaka Smart on the last day of the regular season? Desperate for a win to get in the tournament.
Yeah, I don't, they're 7-10 in the league.
Trying to lock up that NIT spot.
See, now you say don't pay attention to league records, but the first thing you say is with the record in the league.
Yeah, you're right. That's fair. They're 57th in the RPI. They're higher than K-State and Baylor in the RPI.
So, oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The last time I saw, but I think it was before the Kansas game. Not that it matters that they lost to Kansas, but I think they were like first four out. I mean, so they're, you know, like if they won over the weekend and won a game or two in Kansas City, they could play their way in. They're at least in the conversation, yeah. Right?
Problem for them is, you know, I don't know how long Mo Bamba's out.
Problem for them is Rick Barnes is coaching at Tennessee now. Seems like that's a problem for them. Does it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look.
I mean, just it seems like that's a problem for him.
He's having more success at Tennessee than they are at Texas. They play West Virginia. Texas does.
Oh, if they could get that win, that would be huge.
Yeah.
Where's it at?
It's in Austin. And West Virginia doesn't play great on the road, so, yeah.
Kansas has got to play Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State needs a win. I don't know where all these teams are. But it seems like they're all just muddled together, especially, you know, in SEC both and leagues. The Big 12. Yeah. There's just the middle of the conference. They're all just bunched together. And that's why, I mean, Saturday is going to be huge.
Think about awesome. This, too. Like Texas Tech, we were talking just a few weeks ago about Texas Tech having a one-game lead in the league. They are now just one game ahead of TCU and K-State in the standings. They're in third place, and they're one game ahead of fourth and fifth place. You know?
Right.
That's how far they've fallen. They've lost four in a row. So, yeah, it's going to be a wild weekend. And by the way, Big Ten tournament starts this weekend.
Boy, I don't know if anyone cares about that.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because for some reason, the Big Ten is now playing in Madison Square Garden, and they had some sort of double booking situation, so they're going to play their conference tournament like a week before everybody else.
Sounds good.
All right.
We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That stretch that I was talking about last night for Jontay Porter started at with 7:17 left in the game. After Riley LaChance, who refuses to miss three-point shots, hit a three to cut it to 52-43 with 7:34 left, Jontay Porter set up Jordan Barnett with a beautiful pass for Barnett's three-pointer. So assist by Jontay Porter with 7:17 left. Then LaChance made another three. Jontay Porter with a jumper around the free throw line to answer. And then Jontay Porter drew a foul. Drew an offensive foul off of Baptiste from Vanderbilt. And then Vanderbilt came back down in the next position, hit another three. So it's still an 8-point game. Porter answers with a jumper. And then Vanderbilt misses a shot. Jontay Porter, three-pointer. Vanderbilt turns it over. Jontay Porter, dunk. So it went assist, jump shot, three-pointer, dunk. And so, really, he He had his hand in 12 straight points and a couple of good defensive plays in there as well. And when the dust had settled after his dunk, it was 64-49 with 4:11 left. And then Riley LaChance made another three-pointer because nobody would LaGuard LaChance last night. And I was getting very tired of it. So, but credit that kid.
I was listening to the first half on the radio. And
never misses. So.
Mike Kelly was getting very frustrated with the lack of closeout defensively.
Right.
But Jontay Porter was tremendous. I mean, the kid, it's hard to believe he's supposed to be a senior in high school.
They only mentioned that 14 times during that stretch. People tweeting me, hey, is he supposed to still be in high school? Like, I don't know, maybe.
My friends get on me because I constantly point out how young Svi is.
Right.
He's only 20 years old. Mm-hmm. We get it, Nate. We get it. I think it's relevant, though. Like, it's, you know, you're comparing him to guys that are older than him, and he's out there balling. You know, it's impressive. Kid is skilled, very skilled. He knows how to play the game.
Yeah, he's a really, really, really good passer.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, the key for him and Tillman, stay out of foul trouble. So you can do that in the second half. So you're available. There have been games when Porter and or Tillman have not been available to put the team on their back, you know, with 6 minutes left in the game. But staying, I mean, it's as simple as that. If they stay out of foul trouble down the stretch, one of them is, it feels like, if they're both, you know what, very rarely both of them stay out of foul trouble. Well, last night was good. Last night was really good as far as staying out of foul trouble is concerned. But if you could just have one of them out of foul trouble down the stretch of a game, you feel really good about Mizzou's chances of winning. Because there have been times when they've both been in foul trouble. But, it's, I mean, Porter just, but Tillman's good. Tillman is a beast down low. And especially when he's got his confidence and he doesn't have fouls on him, he can be, I mean, his footwork is, I think it's getting better and better. Score around the basket. I mean, he's a handful for anyone, but Porter's game is just, I mean, it's evolving to where, I mean, like you said, it's hard to imagine him. It's hard to imagine that in high school right now.
Going up against some varsity team.
I don't know, at least some. There's at least a couple of mock drafts out there that have him at the end of the first round. I hope he doesn't go after 1 year, but if he does, he does.
Shouldn't.
But man, if he comes back, between him and Tillman, and if they bring in a point guard or two, which they're going to, they already have one signed, but bring in a couple of point guards next year to add to the mix. I know they'll lose Cassius Robertson, which would be huge, but man, they have a couple of skilled big men like that. And if they both hang around for another year or two, you could start to daydream about what Konzo Martin's building in Columbia.
Is he allowed to go pro after this year? I thought at his age, maybe he'd have to come back for a year. I'm going to say something that, boy, is going to anger some people. And I'm not saying he's as good. I'm just making a comparison to the style of player. You know who he reminds me a little bit of? Is Danny Manning.
I think by saying that you've pissed off Kansas fans and Missouri fans.
I'm good at that.
Right.
I mean, if I were a Missouri fan, I think that's awesome.
Right.
You know, Danny Manning's the greatest Jayhawk of all time, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, obviously Will Chamberlain's the greatest quote unquote player, but Danny was the greatest Jayhawk. You know, being there for 4 years and winning the national title and all that.
I'm not even touching this one. I don't.
Staying away from it?
Yeah.
Don't want to be compared to any dirty Jayhawk?
No, I just feel like if I said that, every Kansas fan in the world would say I'm a moron.
Right, right. And probably,
usually Kansas fans do say I'm a moron.
Right.
Based on my Twitter.
And like I said, I'm not saying he's as good, because just because you say somebody reminds you of somebody else doesn't mean you're saying
no,
he's
no.
good.
Let me give you my stance. If he really was as good as Danny Manning, I would love it. That's great. Right. Danny Manning was the best player in college basketball when he played and led his team to a national championship.
Yeah.
But I just feel like if I said that, you know.
Yeah. People, take Danny Manning's name out your mouth.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, you know, the thing that always impressed so much about Danny was that he was 6'10", could pass. I mean, was an unbelievably good passer, just a skilled basketball player. You know, he had a mid-range game. He could shoot from the outside. He had a low post game. He could finish with both hands. And when I watch Jontay Porter, I see a little bit of that. I see it. What's he? He's listed 6'10", 6'11"?
6'11".
He's a heck of a passer, like you said. I'm really impressed with, like, when Vanderbilt went zone in the first half, they put Jontay in the middle of that zone, and he was just dropping dimes out of it, you know? And he can finish in
let,
the
let Jake answer you.
Middle of the zone as well.
He's been wiping his face for 2 minutes.
I think that's a little reactive after the awesome game he had last night.
See, but that's what I want out of him. You don't want to hear what I think. I want to hear what Nate thinks. And he thinks different things
than
me.
I'm just saying his skill set. He's had, that's not the only great game he's had. He's had some really good games.
He's had flashes where I can't believe what I'm watching.
Yeah, flashes. The thing with Danny Manning is that he was pretty awesome right away.
We didn't see what Danny Manning would look like as a senior in high school playing in college, though. You know?
I mean, look, I don't think that he'll stay 4 years, but I mean, I would love to see the kind of player he is, and I don't think I'll ever see that. It won't exist because he'll be in the NBA by the time he's a senior.
I'm not tossing that comparison out, but you can.
I like it.
I guess I can see where you can say that, but I just that comparison was like my Tyshawn Taylor to D Wade, maybe. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah, in retrospect, that was a pretty bad
one. Yeah, no, not good.
It was bad at the time.
Right.
And I gave you an out. I said, are you serious? You really want to say that?
I mean, because there were some similarities. In
Aaron Swartz said that Connor Frankamp reminded him of Jimmer Fredette.
With the hairline?
Did he really?
Yeah. Because Swartz reffed his high school games. Oh, wow. One of his high school games against Perry Ellis. He said, this kid could be the next Jimmer Fredette.
Hey, look, he had no problem just throwing Swartz under the bus.
I'm just thinking of different, you know, comparisons.
Yeah,
like
no
that.
Issues. Because I remember
Frank
I told
Camp's having a good year, by the way.
I told Jake, I said, "Are you sure you want to do that?" And I remember.
Did he get benched?
Yeah, they just took him out of the starting lineup.
But I remember it started, and I think he said, "Like, well, here, look, my brother went to Marquette," and we go, "Oh, okay, now you know." But that was like his first argument, you know. Hey, my brother went to Marquette.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay,
proven.
Go on. Now what? Well, I've been watching Marquette, you know.
Yeah. That's wrong.
Tyshawn Taylor got him to a national championship.
The point is that I saw some things in his game that reminded me of D-Wade. And Jontay Porter.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah, you're not saying that somebody's as good. I'm not saying he's as good as Danny Manning. I'm just saying that some of his skill set reminds me of Danny Manning.
I think you may have said he was as good as Dwayne Wade, though.
No, I think it reminds me of Dwayne Wade. It doesn't matter.
Said he is the next Dwayne Wade.
Yep, that's exactly. I said this guy's gonna be better than D Wade. Is actually now that I recall. Yep, I actually said he's gonna be better than D Wade. Better
Dwayne
pro.
Wade 2.0. Wow. You said.
Yep.
what a terrible, terrible comment.
Wrong.
Yep. I'm an idiot.
You know Tyshawn Taylor was a heck of a college basketball.
So what do
player.
You think of? So you don't like that comparison, Jake? Do you?
I mean, it's just a little quick. Danny Manning was the best player in college basketball.
Okay, so before this opportunity leaves, you brought up Dwayne Wade. I didn't know Dwayne Wade would come up in this conversation. Boy, did you see that last night, the Heat against the 76ers?
And I did not.
I think if it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before. The news came out that one of the kids that was killed in the Parkland shooting in Florida.
Yeah.
Loved Dwayne Wade so much, was such a huge Dwayne Wade fan that his family buried him in his Dwayne Wade jersey.
Oh, my God.
And so, obviously, he got back to Dwayne Wade, and he tweeted out about it, and he talked about how much that meant to him. But, I mean, you know.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And so then last night in Miami, they're playing the 76ers, and freaking Dwayne Wade hit the game-winning shot with like 5 seconds left. And, I mean, the crowd's going crazy. Dwayne Wade's wife was crying after the game. I mean, there were tears everywhere. You go back and watch it, please. Yeah. It was, you know, and I've been following the story. And so I heard someone say, I don't know whether I was watching SportsCenter or something, and you won't believe what happened down in Miami tonight. And he just hit just an unbelievable shot to give him the lead with like 5 seconds left. And I was reading like Gabrielle Union's tweets or whatever, and she goes, "I'm shaking right now. I can't believe it." It was, it was so emotional. And to see the crowd and how they were reacting, because everyone knew the story, and everyone knew, it was, man, oh man.
It's 27 points, too.
Yeah, I encourage you to go back and maybe read the stories leading up to that, and then to see Dwayne Wade hit that shot. That was, and on Twitter, he had dedicated the rest of the season to that kid before the game on Twitter. And then he goes out and hits a game-winning shot against the 76ers that night. It was, it was beautiful. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Now, damn it, Jake, what did I tell you? Why do you come in here and you start chopping all these onions in the commercial break? I told you not to do that.
I was hungry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Not when we're on TV.
My bad.
You know?
Do I need a close-up?
I made Nate cry, too.
Allergies.
We're in
allergies.
Calories?
I can't. The part I didn't read, so I'm reading in the commercial break that not only did he, you know, dedicate the season to him, but, you know, they had a dedication before the game, and Dwayne Wade spoke to the fans to honor the victims and all the kids that were injured in the shooting. And then he wore a pair of shoes, and he had the kid's name written on the shoes, Joaquin Oliver, and then hit the game-winning shot. So, I mean, you know. So Dwayne Wade's awesome.
Yeah.
And just for a moment, what and that's, again, a reminder of how important sports can be. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't erase anything. It really doesn't change the world around us. But for moments at a time, it can make people feel just a little bit better. It can bring communities together. It can just make you feel good. It could be a welcome diversion from the harsh cruelties of life. And that's, I think, a great example. I think, Gabrielle Union, and yes, I follow her on Twitter. There's no reason to continue to ask me that, Jake. But she said, you know, hey, you know, we needed this. Florida needed this tonight. The fans needed this. You know, there's been so much crying and everything else. We needed something to make us feel good for a few minutes, and that did. And so that was just, you all right over there? I mean, it was a
dude.
It's a very touching story.
Well, I mean, you know, as a parent, you think about what, I mean, the sentence that you said about, you know, just even like putting into your own thoughts, like,
right,
having to decide what to put on your child when you bury him,
right,
just is the most heartbreaking thing I could possibly think of. And for those parents, I mean, I don't think that anything will ever help them just completely get over it, but it had to bring some joy, like a little bit of joy, like a little bit of relief, a little bit of something to their life, to know that their son's like favorite player honored him on the court like that last night, had a moment like that last night. You're right. I mean, that's sports makes a difference in people's lives, you know? It really does. Like you said, what we do in general is not that important, but sometimes it is. That's really, what a moment. Wow.
I love D-Wade. Back after this on WHB. I retweeted a few of those tweets from Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. If you would like to read those, at SSJWHB. Very good yet emotional way to start your day if you want to read that and watch the highlights of Dwayne Wade's game-winning shot last night against the 76ers. Jamie Bluma will be in studio with us in the 7 o'clock hour, which is just a few minutes away. And then Gary Lezak, Jarrett Sutton will talk basketball with us. I will have him reenact that three-minute stretch from Jontay Porter with a Nerf hoop here in the studio. So if you'd like to stop by and see that. Nate will play defense.
Yeah.
I will coach, and Jake will be the referee. We have a lot of fun in the 8 o'clock hour. And then Jay Heidrick at 9:05. I'm not sure what he will recreate. So, but you know what? Give credit to TCU. Jamie Dixon. I thought they were done.
Ask Fran Fraschello about it.
You know? They lost one of their best players, right? You're thinking, ah, boy, I don't know how they're going to bounce back from this. And they had struggled in conference, and now they've won four conference games in a row for the first time in 20 years.
That would that make it before they joined the – let's see, yeah, that would have been – they would have been in the Mountain West at that time, I think.
I don't know. All I know, it's been a long time. Last time it happened, I did not care about TCU.
Right.
Or follow them, so God bless.
K-State, though.
In or out?
I think they're in as of right now, but...
Come on, Nate Lenardi. Nate Palm. What do you like better, Nate Lenardi or Nate Palm?
Nate Palm.
Yeah, what do you think?
Nate Palm!
Whenever you talk, can we do a segment where MP. You predict he's going to make the tournament when we call you Nate Palm?
Nate Palm. What do you think, Nate Palm?
Well, I just got out of the bathroom. And hey! Let me tell you what I think.
Or like we could have Jake draw a little face on his hand. They could be Nate Palm. Hey, Nate Palm, what do you think?
Let's go on the bubble.
Before that loss yesterday, they were considered one of the last four byes, according to Joe Lenardi.
Who do you trust more, Joe Lenardi or Jerry Palm?
Jerry Palm.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Because he's Nate Palm.
Because I'm Nate Palm.
Palms got to stick together.
Joe Lenardi's so pissed.
Something's right sticking together, all right.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I didn't think that K-State was going to make it last year. They were the last team in. So,
I say they make it.
You think they're in?
Well, I think they're going to be Baylor because the game's in Manhattan. But if they lose to Baylor, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, Baylor's playing better.
If Baylor wins, they tie K-State in the standings.
Here's a question. Should Oklahoma make it?
Well, I say no, but...
They're gonna.
Why should they?
I mean, they won a bunch of... They won some games, you know, that are impressive earlier in the year, but... See, they in the non-con, they beat Oregon, USC, Wichita State.
They've lost 10 of 13.
I mean, they're just terrible now. They're just terrible. They're falling apart. They were completely uncompetitive in yesterday's game. I mean, that game was over like when it started.
Here's their last 13 games. Loss, loss, win, loss, win, loss, 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 win, loss. Why should that team be in the tournament?
The only reason is because of total body of work. You know, I mean, that's 1 minute.
Well, they better win this weekend. They're hosting Iowa State. They lose that game.
Oklahoma.
I need Oklahoma to play on Wednesday night.
Todd Lebo.
Because right now the bottom four is Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Iowa State.
Todd Lebo.
And look, I wish Iowa State was better, but their fans are so good they will. Come in waves to Kansas City. We'll get the Iowa State fans on Wednesday night.
They start breaking all of our stuff on Wednesday.
He couldn't say it fast enough.
I'm complimenting the Iowa State fans, and he just can't lay off one
in my mind,
time.
I'm like, at what point in time is Nate going to... And then he says it, before I even can get that thought through my
Iowa
mind.
Iowa State, I'm sorry. I look forward to seeing
you. Why are
you
sorry? They broke our stuff.
I look forward to seeing them on Wednesday night.
Because they're fine
spice
people.
Up what normally is kind of a dead night.
They're fine people.
You know all the Iowa State fans?
All of them.
Yeah, all of them, huh?
They're fine.
I know a couple of them.
I just wanted to know if they start breaking our stuff on Wednesday.
I don't think they will, but I can't answer for them. I don't know. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. We have Jamie Bluma in studio to talk baseball, then Gary Lezak to talk martinis, Jarrett Sutton, college basketball, Jay Heidrick, college basketball, and then we will have a half hour. Examination of Jonte Porter's performance last night and just talk about what it meant to me and how excited I was. So look forward to that. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.